afternoon. We're continuing Sanhedrin and Chavdala Medalef. We are today starting at the Mishnah. We have spent already a number of weeks, I think six in total, where we started with the beginning of the first parak of Sanhedrin. We talked about Dinei Mamonos v'Shlosha. The parak is dedicated to the topic of Dinei Mamonos. The first Mishnah told us that when you have a monetary case, a monetary case is tried in front of three judges. We went through at length the various shittas in the Mishnah, the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, regarding the ability to passel either the judge, the witnesses, the selection of the court. We talked about topics of Nogea Bedavar. We talked, the Egalita last week afforded us the opportunity to talk about the distinction between the Talmud Bavli versus the Talmud Yerushalmi. But now as we turn now to the second Mishnah of the third parak, we're in Chavdal Med Aleph, and we're going to learn a Mishnah together. Amar Lo. So let us learn the Mishnah. Neman Alai Abba, Neman Alai Avicha. Okay. Mishnah over here discusses the following scenario. We're going to go to court. Okay, you and I have a dentara, we have a monetary issue, and you and I are going to go to court. Now, generally speaking, a court has to be composed of three, and not just three, but three ksherim, three kosher people. Do they have to be experts in chosha mishpat? Honestly, no, they don't have to be experts. They have to know some rudimentary halachas, they have to have some basic common sense, but they don't need to be experts. If it's an expert, so then you can even have one judge by himself. But anyway, we're going to go to court in front of a beis din of three. And upon going to the court of a beis din of three, so we know that excluded from the beis din cannot be either a posel or a karov. Okay, the person can be disqualified. The Mishnah later on, it's the Mishnah coming up on Chavdal Amud Beis, which God willing we'll get to in the very near future. So the Mishnah over there gives us a list of those people who are psul and those who are disqualified. But also a karov also, which is also coming up later in the parak, is going to be a list of people who are related to me, and because of the relationship to me, they can't testify as well. Okay, we talked a little bit about that last week. I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, in terms of the nature of a karov. But anyway, you can't be a karov or a posel. But I say to you as follows: look, we're going to go to court. I understand we have tainus on a monetary issue, on a monetary claim. How about this? My father's a wonderful person, and he has tremendous common sense. Would you be open to the idea of allowing my father to serve as one of the members, one of the panels of the court? Or Neman Alai Avicha. Or look, or your father is wonderful. He has he has great common sense. I find him to be just a very rational person, very reasonable. Can we accept your father as one of the members of the court? Or the Mishnah goes on to say Ne'emanim Alai Shloshe Roi Bakar. Or let's say we're talking about cattle herders. Cattle herders are not typically the most, neither prudent nor honest of people. Okay, they would not be people that normally, under normal circumstances, would be able to testify in a court of law. They're what we would call a psulim. They're disqualified. Again, it's an ethics issue. So we, generally speaking, would not allow a Roe Bucket to serve in a court of law. But again, you and I now, in the formation of this court, are agreeable to this idea. So the Mishnah says, Amalo Neman alai Abba, Neman alai Avicha, Neman alai Gimel Roi Bakar, Rav Meir Omer Yachal Lachzor Bo. So Rav Meir is of the opinion that if at any point they want to retract from that agreement, they may do so. The Chachamim Omrim Eino Yachal Lachzor Bo. And the Chachamim say, no, once you agree to the terms of this kind of Beis Din, where either my father or your father or three cattle herders are going to comprise the constitution of Beis Din, once we agreed, Eino Yachal Lachzor Bo, so you cannot retract. Ad kan divrei ha-Mishnah. We're going to go through the rest of the Mishnah. It's not much Mishnah to go through, but just to be a little bit meticulous and complete. Let's say that I'm obligated to give you a shvua. A shvua means that for a number of reasons I have to make an oath to you. So again, for multiple reasons why it would happen. The amar lo dor li b'chai roshcha. And the other Baal Din says, you know, it's not necessary for you to make a formal shvuah to me with holding a Sefer Torah and using Shem Hashem. It's not, you don't have to do that. Dorli b'chai roshcha. Just swear to me on the life of your head. Meaning, give me a word that you don't owe me the money. And even though you're obligated to make a shvuah, it's enough if you just simply say dorli b'chai roshcha, right on the literally on the life of your head. And I know it sounds serious, but it means just give me your word that you don't own the money. And thematically, it's the same point that according to Rav Meir, even if we made this agreement, even though we made the concession, still it's not going to be good. It's not going to be adequate if the other litigant is unhappy, unresolved. Even after already agreeing to these terms, Rav Meir says, if you want to, you can back out from such a commitment. And the Chachamim say, no, you cannot. Once you agree that you don't need a formal shvuah, all you need is just a simple, yeah, promise me, yes, I promise, I don't owe you the money, that would be enough, that would be sufficient. Okay.
Not from the decision.
Huh?
Not from the decision. He wants to decide, that's it. He cannot.
What, you're talking about the second part of the Mishnah?
Even the first part.
Oh, the first part of the Mishnah.
I'm saying very first. He cannot take it back after the...
The Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara is going to discuss, and the truth of the matter is that's not going to be our topic for today. Our topic today is really going to be all revolving around the first line of the Gemara. In fact, today we're not going to do anything more than just one line of Gemara. But you'll see, though. Obviously, there's a point to be made, and hopefully we will make this point. But before we start with the one line of Gemara, so again, our focus today is going to be on the first part of the Mishnah, and on this idea that we're going to make a concession regarding the make of Beis Din. Beis Din has to be made up of three kasher dayanim, and our concession is either, instead of having it being a three kasher objective dayanim, one of them is going to be a karov. You okay with it? I'm okay with it. Good, let's move on. Or the other case in the Mishnah is, instead of it, but one of them being a karov, let's say, all three of them are going to be psulim. Roe Bakar are not normally acceptable to be used as a judge. But in this case, we're going to be fine with it. Are you okay with it? Yes. Am I okay with it? Yes. Okay, so let's go. So here... So here, we have now machlokes between Meir and the Chachamim, where if we make a concession, where under normal circumstances they were not qualified to serve as judges. But if we make a concession, is this concession going to stand or is it not going to stand? Do I have to stick to my word or not? And the Mishnah brings down a machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Okay.
Would that have to be in writing?
Well, we're going to talk about, and again, not today, but we're going to talk about, and the Gemara talks about it, is what if we make a kinyan? Essentially, your question. Meaning that we agree to it and we make a kinyan ratifying our agreement. That the Gemara discusses, and that's something which we'll discuss perhaps next week. But in the meantime, however, for this week, here's what I'm going to discuss. And it's very simple. We now have a very unusual court. A court that's made up of people that normally cannot serve as judges. But we agree to it. Are we now sitting in front of a court? Or is it something more like what we would call here in America arbitration? What is the nature of this panel now that's serving and judging us? Are we now in the presence of a court? Or no, this is not a court. It's just that we have now a monetary dispute. We need a resolution to the monetary dispute. And so right now, Dad's great at this. Dad's been in business for years. Dad understands disputes, debates. He knows that he'll be able to resolve it. And basically what we're talking about is some sort of remediation, some sort of arbitration. What is it? What are we looking at now as we sit in such a court? Roe Bakar. These are cattle herders. Cattle herders are people who under normal circumstances cannot serve as judges. And meanwhile, you and I agree that we're going to sit and we're going to be tried by cattle herders. Does that mean that we're sitting in court? Or does it mean right now that basically conflict resolution and we'll go for a little bit of arbitration?
Yeah, but what do you need three for arbitration? Or one would be enough?
Stay tuned.
If the decision can be enforced, it's a court.
If it's enforceable, so it's a court. Okay, but okay. So, in other words, the nafkaminas are all coming up later on. Well, the nafkaminas we're going to do at the very end. But right now, let's just deal with the conceptual. In other words, at this point in time, it's going to be a somewhat abstract discussion, which we're going to bring it down to much more tangible results. But an abstract discussion in terms of understanding what are we doing when agreeing to sitting in front of this? What now is this? What becomes this? I say this by way of introduction. Now, let's turn our attention to the first line of Gemara, and really the only line of Gemara that we're doing today. Amar Rav Dimi Bereder of Nachman Bereder of Yosef. Gemara quotes a series of Amaraim that make the following comment on the Mishnah. Kigon dekable aleha bechad. And that's all we're doing today. Dekable aleha bechad. First of all, what does that even mean? So number one, what it means is that we accepted one of them. Okay. We know that in order to create a Beis Din has to be made up of three judges. In the Mishnah, there's a concession where the concession is that we're going to use my father, we're going to use your father. So the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Dimi, quoting Rav Yosef, our Mishnah works only in a circumstance where dad is serving as one of the judges. Which means what? Right, exactly. It means that there are two other judges. That's the statement of the Gemara done. But it's not done. Because, as we know, in our Mishnah, how many opinions do we have in our Mishnah? We had two opinions in our Mishnah. We had Rav Meir and we had the Chachamim. So allow me to ask now a very simple question. When Rav Yosef is saying this line, that one of the judges must be, that the concession over here is that one of them is going to be dad, and the other two are going to be quote-unquote regular judges, kosher judges. Is that a comment on Rav Meir, or is that a comment on the Chachamim? I'll say it again. Is that comment of Rav Yosef going on Rav Meir, or is it going on the Chachamim? Let's think this outside first, and then we'll see the Rishonim. So, if it's a comment going on Rav Meir, what was Rav Meir's point? Rav Meir's point was that you can back out. Even though we agree, that's fine, that's nice, that's all good. Okay, but at one point during the ordeal, I'm like, I don't like where this is going. Nah, I'm not interested anymore. Zygazin. I'm out of here. So, it could be that Rav Yosef was commenting on Rebbe Meir. It's in the name of Rav Yosef. It could be that it's a comment on Rebbe Meir. Whereas Rebbe Meir says, you're allowed to back out under most circumstances except this one. Or not except, wrong word. Even this one. Or maybe no. Maybe the statement of Rav Yosef is going on the Chachamim. Chachamim said that when you go into such an acceptance, a Kabbalah, so that's it. You're stuck. When are you stuck? Only if one of them, you made only one concession, but basically it's still a court of three. If all this isn't clear yet, let's take a look at Rashi. You'll see. Through the Rishonim, all this will become clear through the Rishonim. So first of all, let's take a look at Rashi together. Dekibla Ela Bechad, Rashi on the Mishnah. Sorry. Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi says, Dekibla Ela Bechad, Dayana. You accepted him, meaning dad, as one of the judges. The Alpha Gav Deika Treya Chrina Behadeh. And there are two other Kosher Eidim. Amar Reb Meir, Yachol Achzor Bo. Reb Meir's position is that what do you have? What are you looking at in front of you right now? Almost a perfect court. Two kosher judges, and then dad, because we conceded on having dad as one of the judges. So you have almost a perfect court. We have now a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim said, that's it, you're stuck, this is it. And according to Rav Meir, you can even back out from such a court. Ad kan divrei Rashi, that's Rashi's position within the Gemara. Okay. Let's turn to Tosfos. Right. By the way, everything I made my makoma sheet, as you can see in front of you. But the truth of the matter is that right now everything's right on the daf. You don't need any other makomas. Look at Tosfos. Amar Abdina Kagon Dekibla Ala Bechad. Pirsha Kuntras. So the only two Tosfos on the Amud. So he first starts off by quoting Rashi. Dekibla Ala Bechad. I'm sorry. Pirsha Kuntras. Dafilo Hachi Kamra Mer Diachol Achzabo. So according to Rashi, the comment of Rav Yosef is going on, or let's call Rav Dimi. Okay, that'll be easier. The comment of Rav Dimi is going on the Shita of Rabbi Meir. V'lo nehira. But Tosfos says, I don't see that. The Kevan de la Rabusa Nakte, because the way Rashi is understanding it, what are we looking at right now? We're looking at what's called a Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush. That according to Rabbi Meir, you can back out. And when can you back out? It goes without saying that you can back out if all three of them are psulim. But let's say even a bigger chiddush. Two of them are kosher and one of them is psul, you could still back out. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara and Rav Dimi statement, we are now saying a chiddush. But Tosfos says, Havalei Lameimar, lo tzricha ela. Yeah, when the Gemara usually introduces a chiddush, the Lashon HaGemara that's used is lo tzricha ela. Over here, what is the Gemara's Lashon? Kagon. Kagon means what usually? It's only. It only works in this case. Alkein nira. So Tosfos says, so I'm going to say now, not like Rashi, but rather, amil saihu derabanan kai, that the statement of Rav Dimi is not going on Rav Meir, but rather it's going on the Chachamim. Didafka kagon de kibla ala bechad. Dechad ala reyusahu. The Ika Kamri Rabbanan, the Deinu Yachol Achzabo, Aval Ikabel Alek Kebetrei Yachol Achzabo, Afle Rabbanan, Kevan the Ika Tarta L'Reyusa. Oh, so what comes out according to Tosfos now is the following: I think that the statement of Rav Dimi is going on the Chachamim, meaning that according to the Chachamim, once you commit, that's it. You're stuck. You're here. You can't get out of it. It's a commitment that you cannot negate. But only if it's a small concession. Small dahainu kigon, for example, when you have three dayanim, two of them are kosher, and one of them is no good. Meaning no good, meaning one of them is your father. Under those circumstances, then you're stuck. And Tosfos uses a lashon of chadal reyusa. That's only when there's one flaw in the Beis Din. But, says Tosfos, if it's tarta l'reyusa, if you have now two things wrong with the court. Number one, the court is, let's make it nice and easy. Number one, we're not using a real judge. We're going to use our father. Number two, there are no other judges. It's so now, this does not have its surah whatsoever of a court. Even the Chachamim will tell you, you can back out.
Oh, as long as it's just one.
Right.
Oh.
So that's what he refers to as tarta l'reyusa.
So the second case of the Mishnah, Rabbanan says you should back out.
What, in the... And the Roi Bakar, so I'm... Yeah, this Rashi Tosfos Machlokas, Phil, that's a good point, I've been thinking about that. I mean, this Rashi Tosfos Machlokas, how does it go on Roi Bakar?
Right.
Is Roi Bakar intrinsically tarta l'reyusa, or is it chadta l'reyusa?
I
hear you. I do hear you. I do understand. But you do have three, so you do have the numbers. You have the right numbers. I think, and I'm not saying I'm right about this, but I think that when Tosfos says Tarta L'Reyusa, it's a qualitative and it's a quantitative issue. In other words, you don't have a kosher aid and you don't have three. So if I'm right, and that's an if. If I'm right, then the Roi Bakar, as odd as that is, would only be Chadal Reusa. Okay. Now, everyone understand now, what comes out now is that there's a fundamental difference between Rashi versus Tosfos. According to, let's start with Tosfos. I know it's not historically correct, but let's start with Tosfos. According to Tosfos, the statement of Rav Dimi is not going on Rameir, it's going on the Chachamim. And that means then that according to Tosfos, if we make a concession, so and the Chachamim say you're stuck with the concession, that's only if it's a small concession. But if it's a quote-unquote large concession, according to Tosfos, I don't have to hold by it. Even the Chachamim, who argue with Rav Meir, would tell you, it's okay, you can walk away from it. Because it's too big a concession. Masha ain kain, according to Rashi, you make any concession. Because remember, Rashi has Rav Dimi going on the on Rabbi Meir, not according to the Chachamim. And that means that what's Rav Meir Shita? Rav Meir Shita is... right, you can always back out. You can always back out if, let's say, it's almost a perfect Beis Din. You can back out. According to Rav Meir, if it's anything less than that, of course you can back out. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, you can always back out. Now, if that's Rav Meir Shita, so then the Chachamim who are arguing with Rav Meir, what's the Chachamim saying? The Chachamim saying is that once you arrive at a concession, you can't back out. You understand now that there's a huge difference between Rashi and Tosfos in terms of where I'm taking Rav Dimi and putting it on. If I'm putting on the Chachamim, so that means that the Chachamim will tell you that on a small concession I can't, but on a big concession I can. Whereas according to Rashi, once I put the statement to Rav Dimi and Rav Meir will tell you that you can back out whenever you want. The Chachamim are saying you can never back out. Let's take a look at a Rambam together. Rambam is easy to identify which way he liked learning the Gemara. I'll read the Rambam to you. It's on the source sheet. It's on the first column. I quote the Rambam inside. Mishakiba Allah Karav Apostle. A person took upon himself either a relative or someone who's pasul. Bein liyoso dayan, bein liyoso eid alav. Whether to accept him as a judge or accept him as a witness. Afilu kibal echad min apsulim be'avera. And even if I accepted somebody who is a Baal Aveira, and I accepted him as Kishnei Edim Ksherim Lahayda Alav, I accepted this one as either two witnesses, O Kishlosha Bezdin Mumchin Ladumlo, or I accepted this one Avaryan to serve as our judge, and he has nobody else supporting him. It's just him by himself. The Rambam writes, you are committed. You're right. I was going to say stuck, but I wanted to use a nicer word. You are. You know, it's like marriage. You know what I mean? Don't say stuck. Say committed. It's better. It works out better that way. You are committed. Okay. The Rambam says that what happened? You accepted one witness. You accepted one witness, or in this case, one dayan, and he's going to serve as all three. So you have what, using Tosfos as lashon, you have tartar l'riusa. It's a double whammy. Number one, he's not even a kasher by himself. Number two, you're accepting him as just one, and he has no complementary two other dayanim. So clearly, if I ask you the question, the Rambam is learning the Gemara like whom? So it sounds like he's learning like Rashi, not like Tosfos. Okay. Now, if we may, what is the Nekud HaMachlokis between Rashi and Tosfos? Or if you will now, what's the Nekud HaMachlokis between the Rambam and Tosfos? What's going on over here? So it could very well be that what they're arguing about is the Chakira that we laid out in the beginning of the Shir today. Meaning, I asked the question at the beginning of the Shir. When you're standing now in front of this group, this motley crew of judges, so what are they? Are they serving as a Beis Din? A slightly modified Beis Din, but they still essentially have the tzura of Beis Din, or no? Are we just looking at basically an arbitration in which, you know what, we have an issue, we need it resolved, here's an arbitration. So if you're learning like Tosfos, so what we can argue now is that according to Tosfos, it's Beis Din. It's Beis Din. It just happens to be that one of them is a karov. But Tosfos says, once it's tarta l'riusa, you can back out anytime you want, even according to the Chachamim. But essentially, it's a Beis Din with a concession that you and I made that we're ready to accept one of the three to be a Karov. But it's basically a Beis Din. Whereas according to Rashi and according to the Rambam, no, it's not a Beis Din. It doesn't have the tzura of a Beis Din. I know it's not a Beis Din because... Even one, he's an Avaryan, he's a Baal Aveira. But if you and I say that, you know what? You know, I know, I know he's not perfect. None of us are perfect. You know the line. None of us are perfect, and he's not perfect, and I think he's reasonable, and let him try our case. So there, even though he's one, and even though he's a Baal Aveira, and he wouldn't be able to serve on a court, but according to Rambam, according to Rashi, it's not a court. It's just, all he's doing is basically there as an arbitration between the two of us. Okay, this machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam on one side, Tosafot on the other side, turns into one machlokus between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Take a look, I quote the Shulchan Aruch. In the beginning of Siman Chav Beis, Achosh Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch brings down. I quote, the underlying part is the part where you're going to see the machlokus, but I'll read from the beginning. Misha kibel alav karov apostol. If we accept upon ourselves either someone who's related or someone who's disqualified, bein liyoso dayan, bein liyoso aid alav, to serve as either a judge or as a witness. Right, and then the Rama inserts over here. I'll read it, although it's not the part I want to focus on. V'lo mikre kabbala ilink elaim kin, elaim ken kibla ladono. Kabbala means that we accepted him to judge us. Avalim hishosh biyadamah shadan. But if we're just using the person as escrow so that he can hold the money while the dispute gets settled, that's not considered Kabbalah. Okay, afilo, here's the part that I want to focus on. Afilo kibel echad miapsulim ba'avera kishnei edim ksherim lahaydalav o kegimel beizdin mumchen ladon lo, and we accept just but one person and he's a balavera and he's going to serve as our beizdin of three. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Who's the Shulchan Aruch following? That's easy. He's using the same Lashon. He's following the Rambam. That, in other words, that the concession can be so far as accepting one Baal Aveira as a basin of three. And then the Rama writes, V'yesh chokim v'svir le dedavkim kibol karov apostle b'dayan achad o be'ed achad. No. When is this Kabbalah going to be a good Kabbalah? Only when he's one of three. Avalin kiblu ketrei diika tarta l'riusa. But if I accepted him not only as a dayan, but as, let's say, two dayanim or three dayanim, afilo achak ma'din yachalachzerbo. Even after the decision's made, we can be chozer because this is not a beizdin. So this machlokus now really turns into a machlokus between the mechaber and the Rama. The mechaber says, you accept one and he's a Baal Aveira, that's fine. You've accepted it. You're committed. According to the Rama, no. If you accept him as one of a Beis Din, that's fine. But one by himself, that's not good. And again, this machlokus between the Mechaber and the Rama is reflective of the machlokus Rishonim, and could be, in terms of lumdus, reflective of this question of what are we standing in front of? Are we standing in front of a Beis Din, or is it just simply a means of arbitration and conflict resolution? Okay.
So, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is he accepting over here? That if this guy says I'm right, then I accept him. If he's going to say I'm wrong, after the fact, I'm then they're going to say he's not good enough.
Remember. The theme of Rav Meir within this parak. I mean, you saw this in the first mission. You're seeing it now clearly as well. Is that according to Rav Meir, din is elusive. Consider what we saw Rav Meir in the first Mishnah. I could possibly your judge, I could possibly your witnesses, right? We'll only choose the third one if I'm acceptable with it. For a mayor, the din is elusive. It's just the reality itself. But we're now discussing, okay, good, that sheet is Rav Meir. We're discussing the Chachamim. But what is interesting, however, and hopefully I'm pointing out, is that even within the sheet of the Chachamim that you can't back out, according to Tosfos, according to the Rama, that's only if there are two other judges together with this one. But if it's not, then even according to the Chachamim, you can back out, because it's Tarta L'Riusa.
But his question even goes further. For arbitration, what do all these halachas for? I can decide, you can decide, my father, your father.
Right. Agreed. I absolutely agree. Meaning, the way it's being presented over here, is that it's right. In other words, I don't need a Mishnah and a Gemara and a Shulchan Aruch to tell me that if you and I want to resolve it, we'll resolve it. Right, correct. I do like the approach better, that it's still a tsura of a Beis Din. Even though, but you understand though, the problem with that is that if it's a tsura of a Beis Din needs to be Ksherim. One of them is not Kosher. There lies the rub. There lies why we have a Chakira and why we could say that on one hand it's a Beis Din, you know, modified, tempered. On the other hand, no, it's not. It's not a Beis Din. It's just a means of resolving our conflict. Okay? Okay, nafkaminas. Okay? So now, hopefully what I presented to you is a really a fundamental question. That in our Mishnah, when we say Neman alai Abba, that dad is serving as one of the judges, is it still have the tzur of a Beis Din or no? Is it just a is it now just a vehicle of resolving our conflict? So on this, I've identified a number of nafkaminas, and really all of them come straight out of the Minchas Chinuch. So what we're going to learn together now is a little bit of Minchas Chinuch together, where the Minchas Chinuch really spells it all out in terms of nafkaminas. Ulechor Nira. This is the Minchas Chinuch. I'm on the bottom of the second column of the source sheet. This is the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Zayin.
What we need here is the definition of what is the Beis Din.
Right. Correct. Meaning, so you have three. But of the three, one of them is a karov. So in the Minchas Chinuch is going to spell it out. Lechor nira, degam edim psulim, ach habal din kiblu aleihem. So let's say that the edim are pasul, but a concession was made by the baldin. Bedine mamanos, kigon krovim or sharp psulim, gam kein ovrim belav zeh. The Torah says, lo sana be'ed re'echa et shaker. You're not allowed to falsely testify. What if the witnesses are witnesses, but only by concession? What if the witnesses are here testifying, but not because they have an innate right to testify, but because we conceded? In this particular case, the Baal Din were amenable to the idea that he's going to serve as a witness. So the Mincha Chinuch suggests that I think under these circumstances they'll be violating the law. Even though, let me ask you a question: Are they going to be chayav in a carbon shvuah? Meaning, I think we've discussed this also amongst ourselves earlier. When you're in aid and you are solicited to give testimony, so are you going to bring a? Are you going to bring a carbon shvuah? So again, if you suppress testimony, the answer is yes. But what if you suppress testimony and you can't even serve as a witness? So the Mincha Chinuch suggests that even though this aid won't be chayv a carbon shvuah because he can't be an aid, but still I think he's in violation of losana. Mikama kom overim belava zeh. Ach efshar kevin dechti b'tor losana berecha aid shaker. But then the Mincha Chinuch says, but I'm not sure. Meaning, I could see the other side of this argument. On the other hand, the Torah says, "Lo sana berecha aid shaker." Im kein dafka im hu aid apia Torah. On the other hand, he's got to be an aid, meaning someone who's objectively qualified to testify. Aval meino aid apia Torah. So eino over belav zeh. So, but if he's not an aid, and it's only through concession that he's an aid, I don't think he's in violation of this law. Rak havalei mazik b'mono shel chavero v'hu beged a gazlan. Now he's a bad person. He's a mazik, but to say, in other words, if he's falsely testifying, but to say he's an aid shaker when meanwhile he's only an aid by concession. So the Minchas Chinuch basically says I could see both sides of this. Aval b'lav hazeh, so ain't over. So the So as a kasha v'lachayinu kasha imkein hachanam idechsev lo sana hishaker. Okay, good. So number one. So the Minchas Chinuch over here discusses. And now I know he discusses in the context of an aid, but it's the same basic idea. When we accept a dayan through concession, when we accept an aid through concession, so do they have now a shame dayan and a shame aid? So the Minchas Chinuch basically says, I don't know. Meaning on one hand, he's now an aide. He is testifying in this case. So, if he's lying, would he be in violation of Losana? Maybe. But then the Minchas Chinuch says, but maybe not. Because the Torah says, Losana Berecha aid Shaker, and he's not an aide al-Pi Torah. So, again, I don't know. What's the suffix of the Minchas Chinuch is exactly what we've been discussing. Meaning that when you accept somebody through concession of either being a witness or a judge, does he have the shame witness? Does he have the shame shame dayan? So the Minchas Chinuch says, good. And a nafka, I mean, it would he be subject to the Isser of Losana? Next. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah Resh Lamed Dalin. of Shalichabed Adayin Achar Balei Din B'Shas Arif, that no favoritism should be given by the judges during the time of dispute. Ve'afilo Hayagadol, this is, by the way, I'm reading the Sefer Chinuch. Ve'afilo Hayagadol V'Nechba V'Nasa Panim. And even though one of the Balei Adin is really a... He's a gadol. Shenemar v'los ader p'nei gadol. V'amar b'sefra shlo tomar ashir uzeb ben gadolim hu heich avayshenu. Right? He's a real personality within our community. I can't embarrass him. Klomer shalicha b'edoso yosem ibal dino. Sheino gadol kamo l'kach demar v'los ader p'nei gadol. So you can't do that. In a court, you cannot overtly show favoritism to one litigant over the other. Okay, shor shem mitzvah yaduv. Okay, fine. For example, all right, look at the continuation, the hemshech of the Sefer Chinuch. Medina HaMitzvah. Masher HaMazichon HaLavracha Shalo Yehi Echad Yoshev Echad Omeid. So for example, you can't have one litigant sitting and the other one standing. El Shneim Omdim. They both should be standing. Ki B'yosem L'fnei HaBezdin Ra'i Lahem La'amod Ki Lohim L'fnei HaShchina. Because when you're standing in front of a Bezdin, Bezdin has a din, has a status of a shechina. They both should be standing. Ki ruach Elokim shochem b'soch edus dayani yisok k'moshe nemar Elokim nitzav ba'das kel. So good. So an idea we all familiar with. So if you're standing in front of a base, you need to be standing. Hopefully, at this point in time, you know exactly where I'm headed. But let's go there. Let's head in that direction. The minchas chinuch on this mitzvah v'inei nearly pashut. Let's say that we have dayanos, but not because they are objectively good dayanim, but concession. A concession was made. And even though, as we just learned together in our Gemara, by all means, you are certainly allowed to judge, So once again, the Minchas Chinuch basically vacillates between whether or not this halacha, that both of them need to be standing in the presence of said Beis Din, meaning I say said Beis Din, meaning not the Beis Din that's objectively a Beis Din, but a Beis Din that's created through concession. Is there this halacha that you're now standing in the presence of Beis Din, that both litigants need to be standing? Is that necessary? So once again, the Minchas Chinuch says, again, it depends. He basically vacillates on this very issue once again. If on one hand, they are considered, they have a surah of a Beis Din, so then the halacha is that you need to stand, like you need to stand in front of every Beis Din. If, however, the concession is just there so that we can arrive at conflict resolution, but it's not a real Beis Din, so to say, so then there's no requirement of standing, and it's therefore not necessary. So once again, the Minchas Chinuch says this would be another nafkamina based on this question of how to view a basin that is arrived at through concession. Okay, let's quickly chazer, and then we'll move on for next week. So again, we have in our Mishnah this idea of Neman Alei Abba, that we're going to create a concession in order to create a Beis Din, where either my father or your father is going to serve as one of the Dayanim. Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether or not you can or you cannot be Chozer. Rav Meir says you can be Chozer, and the Chachamim say you cannot be Chozer. On that, there's a Machlokas Rishonim between Rashi and Tosfos. And then the Gemara says that makes one comment in the name of Rav Dimi, quoting Rav Yosef, and that is, Dekable Allah Bechad, we accepted Dad as one of the judges. On the statement of Rav Dimi, Machlokes between Rashi and Tosos, whether this is a statement going on Rav Meir, or whether it's going on the Chachamim. According to Rashi, it's going on Rav Meir, and according to Tosos, it's going on the Chachamim. With a major nafkamina between the two. According to Rashi, because it's going on Rav Meir, what is that teaching us? It's teaching us that. That according to Rav Meir, if I, even though I basically have a Beis Din, according to Rav Meir, I can back out anytime I want. Which means that according to the Chachamim, I can never back out. regardless of what the concession may be. Once we make a concession, I can never back out. Masha Inkin, according to Tosfos, no. The statement of Rav Dimi is not going on Rabbi Meir, the statement of Rav Dimi is going on the Chachamim. That means that the Chachamim are telling you that when can I not back out? When am I fully committed? Only when I have Tzura of a Beis Din. But once I no longer have a Tzura of a Beis Din, both qualitatively and quantitatively, where I accepted Dad as one of the Dayanim, and he's the only Dayan, so then even according to the Chachamim, you can back out. This is a concept of Tosfos known as Tarta L'Reusa. Comes out now that we have a basic machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, according to the Chachamim, the halachas like the Chachamim, you can never back out of a concession that you enter into, and according to Tosfos, no. You can only not back out. You're only fully committed only if it's Chadu L'Reusa but not Tarte L'Reusa. We pointed out that the Rambam sides with Rashi. We pointed out that the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are split on this issue going down the line of Rambam versus Tosfos. The Mechaber goes like the Rambam. You make any concession, even accepting a Baal Avera as your single judge, you are committed to this case. Whereas Masha Inkin, according to Tosfos, no, you're not committed to the case until you accept him as one of the three. Good. That is all the basics. And then in terms of Svara, in terms of an analysis, so we suggested that maybe this whole machlokas between Rashi against Tosfos, the Mechaber against the Ramah, is basically when you're sitting in front of a court and one of them is your father, what is that? Is that have the Tzura of a Beis Din? Or no, is it just simply, it's no longer a Beis Din Bechlal, and it's just a means of arriving at conflict resolution. And it could be that that in fact is the Machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, where, and the Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Whereas according to the Mechaber, it is not a Beis Din. It doesn't have the Tzura of a Beis Din. And as long as we agree to terms, that's it, we're committed. Whereas according to Tosfos, according to the Ramah, no. That if I have a Beis Din with the Tzura of a Beis Din, so then we are, it has the Tzura of a Beis Din, it is a Beis Din essentially, and therefore it has all the rules, regulations in force, just like a Beis Din would have. Okay, Adkan, that's the Machlokas, that's a possible Svar within the Machlokas, and then we pointed out through the Minchas Chinuch, a number of Nafkaminas. Number one, if you are an aid by concession, are you going to be in violation of Lo Sane? If you are an aid by concession, are you going to be Chayv Karban Shvua? If you are a Dayan by concession, is there going to be a halacha of Yoshev Lefnei HaBeis Din? So again, all these issues would be relevant to the question of what is that? Is that a Beis Din with the Tzura of a Beis Din, even though one of them is a Pasul? Or no, it's not a Beis Din, it's just there to, as a mechanism, as a vehicle to resolve conflict.
Understand one thing. According to Rashi, what is Rav Dimi adding to a mayor? Because a mayor in the mission said already you can't retract.
I might have, without Rav Dimi. Okay, without Rav Dimi, I would have thought that Rav Meir's position, again, it comes back to the most basic issue. Rav Meir is hard to understand. We agreed, and now you can back out. So I might have thought that's only if that was the only judge. But if Dad was a judge together with two other kasher dayanim, that's good, that's strong. We can't back out from that. Rav Dimi's telling me, no, I can even back out of that.
The Mishnah's talking about one out of three.
Not necessarily.
No?
Not necessarily. The Mishnah just simply says, Naman Alai Abba. Doesn't Misha doesn't say that, and that was Tosfos's kasha on Rashi, because Tosfos says, well, if Rashi is right, and that means then that really we're saying a chiddush within Rav Meir, and the lashon of kagon doesn't speak to chiddush. That was the kasha. Okay.